Good morning and welcome to the People's Parliament on Down to Brass Tacks, this the 8th day of May 2018. Today, the topic is inspiring and empowering our young people. And joining us representing the political parties vying for the next general election in Barbados on May 24th, we have Krista Austin, and she is representing the United Progressive Party, UPP. Good morning and welcome, ma'am.
Good morning, Corey. Thank you. And I want to say a special good morning and good luck to all of the young people doing the common entrance this morning.
Good, thank you. We are also joined by Alan Springer, and he is representing Solutions Barbados. Good morning and welcome, sir.
Good morning, Corey, and good morning, Barbados. Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and I want to echo that greeting to our young people going into their exams. God be with you. I wish you blessings and favor, and may your results bear fruit in the future.
And we are also joined by Santia Bradshaw, and she is representing the Barbados Labour Party, the BLP. Good morning and welcome.
Hi, good morning, Corey, and good morning, Barbados. Thank you for having us here this morning. And it is indeed a pleasure to be able to speak to the youth of the country and certainly to be able to share the ideas of all of the political parties. I too wish to share the sentiments of the other candidates as well in wishing the young people out there who are taking the common entrance, you know, all the success. It's as much pressure for the parents as it is for the children. So I do hope that they put their best foot forward today and really come up with a resounding success.
So today, the objective really is, how do we inspire and how do we empower our youth? And for the purpose of this discussion, I want to use the definition of youth as proclaimed by the Commonwealth, and that is 35 and under. The Ministry of Youth determines youth at 9 to 29, but I'm using the Commonwealth one, so I can still be youth, okay? So just, you could call that a little bias as we start the program today. So if you're 35 and under, I think this program is particularly, it should be particularly interesting for you and of interest to you. And all you from secondary school, especially the seniors in secondary school, you should be home today because there's common entrance, so you're home. So I want you to pay special attention, and if you can actually pick up the phone and give us a call at 434-1790, that's 434-1790, or send a WhatsApp. You may be lucky, you may be able to read it from the hundreds that come every day. The number is 266-4862. 266-IVOB. Send us a message, send us a concern, send us a question. Ask these political parties, what plans do they have for inspiring and empowering our young people today on the People's Parliament on Down to Brass Tacks? Now, we go straight to the political parties, and Krista, I want to start with you. What are your plans for inspiring and empowering young people in Barbados, in a nutshell?
Thank you, Corey. First, I want to lay the field, so to speak, as it relates to the context within which our youth are existing in our nation today. We have a situation where we've raised the retirement age till about 67. So the direct impact of that is a 30% unemployment rate among our youth. For us in the United Progressive Party, that is a very serious challenge, but it's also a very fixable situation. We also have a very challenging economic environment, and certainly the statistics bear out the difficulty of it from a macroeconomic perspective. But we are also cognizant of the human factor, wherein we have a lot of young people living in circumstances where, for example, they may have been middle class, but due to the environment, they have fallen from middle to lower middle class. And as a result, they are not able to enjoy some of the benefits and gain the springboard opportunities that they really ought to have. We also have to look at the fact that within this difficult environment, poverty is being perpetuated. And as a result, there are issues such as stigmatization that we have to look at where our young people are concerned. As it relates to the United Progressive Party and our solutions, we believe that we need to twin our economic solutions with our socio-economic view of Barbados and the social services and how we move forward. So we're going to look at working on those two issues simultaneously. As it pertains to the economy, later on I will expound on it, but we're looking at creating jobs specifically for our youth to bring down that unemployment and to secure our future as a nation. And certainly looking at the social services that benefit our young people and our nation as a whole. But for the purpose of this discussion, I'll highlight the extent to which those improvements in our social services will also help to catapult our youth to where they ought to be, and that is as the future of our country.
Okay, we move over to Alan Springer from Solutions Barbados, and basically we want to know your party's plan for inspiring and empowering our youth.
Okay, that's an immediate and very direct question. I'd like to set the context a little bit before I answer that question. You see, I want to start with some short snapshots, anecdotes that I have experienced while I've been on the street canvassing in my constituency. I visited a family, and after talking, it was a young family, after talking, they took me into their kitchen and opened the larder and showed me two tins of corned beef, one tin of sweet corn, and some rice in a brown paper bag. And they said to me, "That is food for tonight. We don't know how we're going to eat tomorrow. Can you help?" At another door, a man who is a tailor and takes in clothing to wash and iron said to me, "Look, I have a number of items I'm working on, but my washing machine broke down last night and I need to do the repair. I cannot afford to pay that repair. Can you help?" At another door, a person said to me, "I have a refrigerator on credit and I couldn't pay the credit. I got a number of letters which I couldn't respond to, so I was put in court. In front of the court, I couldn't pay, but my local MP came forward and paid on my behalf." Now, I want to say this, that we cannot afford to continue with that culture of dependency. When we micromanage those particular personal situations, what we create is a climate of dependency on our local MPs, and that has to stop. We cannot afford to continue with that culture of dependency, particularly amongst our young people. And we need to create a climate of opportunity and prosperity rather than one of dependency. I lived in the UK for a number of years, and it is said that the socialist parties have a vested interest in keeping the working class population dependent, because that's where their votes come from. What we don't want to do in Barbados, although we don't really have socialist parties, we have centrist parties, what we cannot afford to do is to continue with that centrist policy of leaving our populace, our electorates, and in particularly the young, dependent on them. So what we plan to do with Solutions Barbados, we are all innovators. I work in education innovation, and I will talk a bit about that as we go through. But we plan to create a climate of productivity and growth amongst our young rather than dependency. We will do that in a number of ways, and we're not just talking about job creation, because I have found again when people say, "Can you give me a job?" If you give them a job, it's like giving them a fish. And when that fish is eaten or when they lose that job, they're back to square one. So we plan to prepare a much more long-term view where our young people create their own opportunities through solid education and good training to become their own entrepreneurs and manage their own enterprises, where they themselves don't eat the fish that they're given, but they're given a fishing rod and they catch the fish themselves. So they are responsible for their own destiny and not dependent on others for their future.
Okay. Inspiring and empowering our youth. The plans of the Barbados Labour Party. Santia Bradshaw.
Well, Corey, I may not fall within the definition as expressed by you.
Just over a little bit.
By you anymore. I may be young at heart, certainly, and youthful to a large extent. But I was certainly the beneficiary of a Barbados Labour Party administration, which focused heavily on empowering young people and saw the empowerment of young people as being able to play a large part in the development of the overall economy. I came through a Barbados Labour Party administration that was at the forefront of things like the Youth Entrepreneurship Scheme, which gave a number of young people the opportunity to establish their own businesses, particularly small and micro enterprises. We saw a proliferation of young people being able to come to the fore as hairdressers, as tailors. People stepped away from their households and they went into the small business sector, and they were able to be supported by the small business sector as well. Funds were applied to that sector to be able to give them skills, to be able to do things like management and to be able to promote and expand their businesses as well. I was fortunate to come through an administration under the Barbados Labour Party, which understood that not everyone was academic. And that you had to give people who were both entrepreneurial but also people who were interested in the arts the opportunity to be able to express themselves. And therefore, there were funds available for persons in the creative industries under the Cultural Action Fund and other funds of the Ministry of Culture to be able to empower our youth to be producers and to be persons involved in the visual arts and the entire creative sector. As to what a Barbados Labour Party will do, I believe it is fair to say that the Barbados Labour Party will continue to empower young people. That is the record and the legacy of the Barbados Labour Party. We've had things like the entrepreneurship, the Enterprise Growth Fund, which has certainly given a number of young people the platform to be able to not only access grant funding, but also to be able to access venture capital. And we've seen the success stories coming to the fore as a result of being able to have access to capital. This current administration would even, for instance, have introduced a number of initiatives or spoken about these initiatives over the course of the past few years in relation to helping small businesses and even helping the creative industries. But the reality is that they have made the process of applications very difficult. They've made the access to capital for persons who are creative in particular almost impossible to access. And then, you know, the red tape, the bureaucracy that now plagues the system has made it difficult for people who want to come to the fore to access these funds. The Barbados Labour Party understands that that is not the way to empower people. While you may be able to have access to capital, you also need to be able to guide them in terms of the business ventures. And so a new Barbados Labour Party administration understands that we have to work in partnership with our young people, because realistically, they're the people who are going to propel this country and certainly to propel the economy. We're very big on the technology sector, information technology, encouraging people not to just look to the public service anymore alone, but to be able to find ways to export their skills and being able to provide these support systems to be able to get them to connect with people overseas as well, to be able to expand and to be able to export their ideas and their innovation to the rest of the world. So where we are right now is really looking at how do we transform the Barbadian economy by getting all hands on deck in moving forward with our young people.
Okay, you've heard the parties that are here representing in the interest of letting you, the public, know their position on this matter of inspiring and empowering our youth. We have absent the Democratic Labour Party and the Barbados Integrity Movement, but we will continue the discussion when we come back as we look at fleshing out the issue of how do we inspire and empower young people in Barbados. On this, the People's Parliament on Down to Brass Tacks. Let me throw everything in the pot one time. Let's have a good cookout, a good soup here now. So I'm going to go to the WhatsApps and I'm going to look at some of the things and issues people are beginning to raise as we speak. They say all parties need to include employment rights, especially contract law, because many of our young people are being disadvantaged. And that's something that I know about in relation to you ain't got chick nor child, and therefore you're young and you're desperate, and a lot of young people are in the environment of working. Are they inspired and are they empowered when they're being treated like that? I know some of them who have their pay cut arbitrary because you want a job. So we want to hear something about that before our close at 1:30. No DLP today. What a disservice to the people of Barbados. This one says, Corey, I'm not young, but I've been puzzled for a while. If everyone has a business, who is the market? And I've heard that before. I'll give you the opportunity to respond to that. I want to throw in my own 3 cents. I don't do 2 cents anymore because it's round off to zero. So I can put it at 3 cents, right? And that is one of the things I've observed as a youth advocate, youth activist coming up in Barbados, that youth are disadvantaged in comparison to even in the region. And I'll explain. While I was part of Barbados Youth Parliament, we would have traveled the Caribbean, starting youth parliaments in other Caribbean islands. This would have been back from 1999 coming forward. Those youth parliaments have been able to inspire and empower even the youth. If in their movements, they now sit in parliament, they now sit at heads of departments, they now sit in the Senate. The young people in Barbados, ask yourself the question, we are there. Now, for me, in Barbados, it's been proven, in order to be the face of progress, you must have a certain amount of square inches of gray hair in your hair as part of the criteria to be promoted and pushed forward in this country. That is a fact of life. Recently, some friends of mine, they would have traveled to China on a youth exchange, and their peers went there to represent. They were the deputy chief town planners. They were the head of departments, the directors of youth, and so on within their particular countries in the Commonwealth. They went as a member of a youth arm, as a youth commissioner, as those types of things, but their peers have actually have advanced. In Barbados, are our young people no better? Are we weaker in comparison to our peers across the world? That's a question that parties will need to ask. There's lots of focus on the 11 plus, another thing. Today also starts the CSE examinations. It goes from May 8th to June 8th. My question is, those setting the 11 plus, 2 weeks from now, when they get their results, what percentage of them will be inspired and empowered, and what percentage of them will be decimated by the results as they go on to schools that we all say all these schools are equal and the same? Biggest lie we tell our young people. How do we inspire the artists, the footballers, the persons who want to have business in Barbados, when we know we have, yes, the cultural industry bill and all these various things? But Sam, you work in the cultural industry, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I know many artists who are in Barbados and they want to go afield and they want to be the next Rihanna, and all they are met with is doors in their face. And that is not the problem, because all around the world, when you hear the stories of the successful artists, they usually had a very hard time. But a lot of young people are asked to do some of the weirdest things you can think of, especially in the cultural industry. They have to perform special favors in order to get ahead in the industry. How do we inspire them and actually get them to the next level? Where there are many young people who are inspired, there's a large section of our young people who are not inspired and not empowered, not involved in the society whatsoever. So the question I throw back at the party is, how do we correct these problems along with those raised by those on the WhatsApp? And anyone can take that one first.
Well, I think, Corey, first of all, I think it has to start with the issue of leadership and an understanding of exactly the aspects that you've raised in relation to understanding young people and the ability of our youth to be able to participate in our democracy, to be able to have a say. I know when I was young, I was involved in a number of community-based organizations. I was always able to have a voice and to have a say. And I'm one who is very big on giving young people the opportunity to be vocal and to express themselves. The Barbados Labour Party administration has always been able to be at the forefront of giving young people a voice, whether it was in relation to the parish ambassadors, whether it was in relation to the same youth parliament that you've spoken about. But it has always been understanding in relation to that young people have a say, and they don't just have a say when it comes to the elections, but they should have a say even before they reach the level of being able to vote. I think the thinking that I'm speaking about has to start in terms of a new consciousness in relation to how we treat to education, because we cannot expect to want our young people to be entrepreneurs when they turn 18, but the school curriculum is not providing, in a sense, the understanding of what it is going to take to become those entrepreneurs. And then you also have another layer where when they come out and they have the ideas, are we just giving them funds to be able to start up businesses, or are we also going to put in place systems to be able to guide them and to hold their hand? We have a lot of young people in the creative industries, for instance, who are creative, but they do not have the management structures in place. So an understanding Labour Party administration knows that we have to be able to provide not outlets for just artists to be able to perform, but we also have to encourage now the development of the infrastructure, which is really the foundation for taking the industry forward. When I certainly started out, there were a lot of people in the industry who were friends of friends who became managers of the artists. You know, I was an attorney coming into the profession. I could have done a number of things, but I chose to really be able to use my legal background to be able to give a foundation in terms of management to the sector, and to be able to speak to the same things that you're talking about in terms of contractual arrangements, to be able to educate the people. That is the Barbados Labour Party way. It is not enough for us to just have the skill set, but we have to be able to use the pool of resources that we have in the Labour Party, starting with the leadership of the Labour Party, who the lead political leader has been involved in the creative industry. She's been at the forefront of working with young people. We have people like Cynthia Ford, who's been in education. We have young people coming to the fore, Ryan Strawn, who understands not just the economic side, but also how the economy is going to impact in terms of these policies in relation to young people and to the social services. People like Marsha Cattle and Kirk Humphrey, who in their own right are creative people and who in their own right have been entrepreneurs as well. So a political party at this juncture in our history has to be able to pull together a set of individuals who are not just technocrats, who are not just focused on the black and white issues, but understand that there are several layers that need to be put in place in order to be able to fully exploit and to develop the potential of our young people.
Okay. Anyone else want to jump in here?
Okay. I'd like to talk to begin. You asked a question about the 11 plus. And to be honest, I don't think the issue is any longer what percentage of that 3,000 or so young people actually passed the 11 plus. The real issue is, do we still need the 11 plus? Should we, at age 11, point in some young people in the direction of failures and point in those who are successful at that time in the direction of an academic pathway? And we really need to address the issue of the 11 plus and decide, based on where we want our young people to go, what it is we want to do with them at age 11 and beyond. So I'm not sure about the percentages that pass or fail and so on.
But how long have we been having that conversation? I think when I was born, I was just coming out of the womb and that discussion was going on.
Very good. I totally agree. Mm-hmm. And that's precisely why we want an innovative party who will, in fact, address it. Because no one else has addressed it so far. Solutions Barbados, it is one of our solutions to address the issue with the 11 plus.
How?
Because we want, when young people come into school, and let's talk about the...
But I don't really want to hear what you want. I want to hear how we can get there. Because we hear what we want and what's needed all day, every day.
The People's Parliament is about how...
There are 50, 60,000 people wanting to hear the how, not when you get there. We want to know the now so that we can get you there.
Right. Well, the now is based on what we want. And what we aspire to do, we're talking about empowering young people. Mm-hmm. We can only empower young people through what it is we want for them. So I don't have a problem with the word want, because that is the beginning. You know, when a designer sits down to design
something,
they begin with, what is it I want to design? And then they work out how they're going to do that design based on what it is they want to do. So please allow me to just talk about what
let me explain to you. I am here basically representing the listeners.
Sure.
The first program we had like this, the first two or three, listeners blast the program because people came here with a lot of rhetoric. We met and we decided what we want is we want the hard stuff. We don't want the fluff and all the philosophies and so on. What we want is the one. So it's no disrespect. There's no hard feelings. There's nothing personal here today. Between now and 1 o'clock, if we do not get the hard stuff, the hardcore stuff out, we've failed. We've wasted three hours of radio time.
Totally
so
agree.
Continue on that basis.
Let me continue on the hard stuff, because I don't play semantics.
Okay.
The thing about it is, young people coming into an education system need to be primed for skills and not for knowledge. That's the first thing. I'm not saying knowledge is not important, but the way to acquire knowledge is through the skill. So we will implement a skills-based education from day one. For example, in China, youngsters don't do maths until they hit about 14. What they do is they take part in activities that calls for a mathematic problem solving, and they're not even aware that they're learning maths, they're just doing. So it is that skill that leads them to an education further, which is based more on the knowledge of pure mathematics. It's applied in the early stages. And that's the kind of curriculum we will develop, whereby youngsters for the first 3 years in secondary education don't talk about the pure academic knowledge-based curriculum, but are involved in skills-based education that sets them for the future. So that is what we will implement at age 11 and remove the 11 plus, and that is a definite.
Let me help now translate. So what you're saying, you're going to, mm-hmm. one of the things you're going to do, the hardcore thing, is you're going to mm-hmm. change the syllabus.
That's correct.
You're not going to talk about changing the syllabus. You're not going to look at the syllabus. You're going to change
it. You're going
to change
it. Good. A new curriculum.
That's what we want. Amen. Hardcore things like that.
All right. Okay. That's good. Let's get to the hardcore. Now, let me talk about under the DLP youth provision, and I'm going to go through this because it's important. We have 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 different bodies trying to implement our youth services. It's far too many. We need to be much more focused if we really want to empower young people. We have 3 very simple objectives. We want to bring about a greater sense of productivity and growth in our young people. We will make sure that because of that, what we want, we will make sure that every young person in Barbados is participating in some kind of productive activity. And we will make sure that every young person in Barbados has an opportunity to develop the independence and take responsibility for their own progress. And I agree with you, we don't want the soft stuff. We don't want policy, actually. We want strategy. We want methodology. And we want implementation. And that's what we will do. Now,
I never say we don't want policy here, because then people, no. Just, but
you continue.
Right.
No,
that's
new,
Alan's
new
word, okay? That's
new paradigm.
New paradigm.
New paradigm.
Okay, go ahead.
Strategy.
Strategy.
Methodology. Implementation. That's the hard stuff. Now, let's go back to education for a minute. We talk quite often about finance and spend in education. It has been shown globally that finance and spend in education is not necessarily the key to what we bring out at the output stage. It is more qualitative factors in education, such as leadership and training, the quality of the school experience for the pupils, and I've been into the schools in Barbados, many of them, and for example, I was running a workshop in a school where the deputy head teacher came in to be part of monitoring what was going on, and he fell asleep at the back of the class. No. What is the quality of the school experience for the pupils when the deputy head is sleeping at the back of the class? Another anecdote, and I like anecdotes because they're based on real experience. A friend of mine came down from the UK, and he has a friend who is a teacher here. And he introduced me to him, and when he heard that I was involved in teacher training in the UK, he asked if I could help. And I said, sure, I will do what I can. And I had a session with him and another member of staff. And I said to them a very simple question. I said, what do you use as a stimulus to get your children interested in the lesson you're about to deliver? And they said, Stimulus? I said, yeah, like a photograph, a video on YouTube, something that creates their interest. And they said, well, we don't have time to do that. Then I said, in an hour-long lesson, how many of your pupils are asked to leave their chair to go and interact with another pupil? They said, no, we're told that good practice is to keep the children well-behaved in their seats. Now, I'm not criticizing those individuals. I'm saying that teacher training is a very key part of where we want our youngsters to go. So leadership and training, very important. Quality of education, of school experience, curriculum appropriateness, and that's why I talked about the change of the curriculum, vision and continuing school improvement, parental engagement and parental satisfaction, the reputation of the school, and you talked about that. Schools are not one size fits all. they're different in their expression, and they're different in their delivery, and they're different in the experience. So that plays a part. The demographics. Who has access?
All right, we're going to come back and flesh this out. Krista, I want to hear from you. Then I want to ask some direct questions from the WhatsApp to you, and then we go to the telephone lines.
Thank you, Corey. As it pertains to actual implementation of projects, what we have discerned in the United Progressive Party is that there are some cracks in the system, and you alluded to a few of them just now. I want to also highlight not just the brokenhearted kids who may not pass the 11 plus and the devastation that they feel going into secondary schools that society has branded as not among the top. But I want to also highlight those young people who finish secondary school without certificates in many instances. We have a lot of them who the system, I like to say, they belch out these young people and throw them back into the communities without giving them another year, not recognizing that there are differences in learning abilities. Every child will not be able to complete the secondary school system in the given 5 years successfully. And we're not giving them this extra year to come back and try again. So they're being tossed into society. And I've seen with my own two eyes and in my own personal experience as someone who grew up in Haynesville, where some of these young girls come out and they're too young to work, but they're too old for school. So they're not able to find their way in society. And what happens is the drug lords take them up and they get involved in go-go dancing and they look for a boyfriend, and quickly they have kids. By the time they're 20, they have 3 or 4 children. So we are saying that these cracks in our community need to be filled by strengthening our communities. So it is all well and good, for example, for this government to start a STEM program in schools and teach kids robotics and whatnot. But for those children who've already been puked out of the system, they are not going to benefit from that type of activity. And we're saying that in the community, where all of these persons who fall through the cracks, that becomes the common denominator.
Let me put that 80% of those actually will fall into that category. I've challenged the Ministry of Education to challenge my statistics and need to re-challenge them, because what they provided statistics on passes based on those who were entered. I am talking about 80% of the school population at CSC age, 80% or more, not coming up with a single CSC. So there can two things can happen here. One, they can dispel it and bring the real ones, or two, we're going along with this one. But I answer the question. That is the problem. What is the solution? How right. do we engage those girls as opposed to being go-go dancers? What do we put there to replace that?
So there are a number of initiatives that need to be implemented. It needs to be a multi-layered approach. One of the first things that needs to happen is that we need to educate the parents, because parental support for these young people is so critical. So we need to ensure that we decentralize the parenting counseling across the nation to ensure that the parents provide some kind of support to these young people. We also need to look at mentorship opportunities for persons in society like us here at this table to be able to hold the hand of those young people. I myself, having grown up in Haynesville, my parents would have done their best with me, but certainly as it related to unearthing my talent in music and whatnot, I have a lot of people to thank, like Mervyn Yearwood and Rosie Hunt, who saw my musical talent and helped me to hone that. So mentorship is very critical for these young people, and that is one of the things as well that we're looking at, ensuring that we decentralize across the nation. For the young people themselves, when you look at the technology and the talent and the artistic abilities that are laying dormant in this country, and compare it to the rest of the world, we really have a golden egg that we have not been tapping into, Corey. The United Progressive Party has purposed that we will develop a strong creative economy to diversify our economic sectors. Right now, we have the two pillars of tourism and international business. And we have purposed that we will develop the creative economy to create jobs around those naturally occurring talents among our young people and create an enabling policy and legislative environment to ensure that those skills can be leveraged towards an export developed sector, an export-focused sector. It is not enough to just say, let's give these young people the opportunity to set up a business or whatnot. We have to look at how we can export that talent so that we can fix our foreign reserves problem, as well as create jobs for these young people that are what you can describe as within the IP intensive sector, the intellectual property intensive sector. And we see the communities as the incubators for this exercise, because let's face it, entrepreneurship comes with risk, and with risk there will be failure. And a lot of our young people who have embarked on entrepreneurship thus far have had the support systems of their families and whatnot. But there are many out there who have ideas and potential that need that framework and to be facilitated. So within the communities, we will create those opportunities for innovation to be developed among our young people, creativity, creative thinking, critical thinking, so that they can find their way directly towards starting businesses within that IP intensive sector.
Just gone 40 minutes before 11 o'clock. This is the People's Parliament on Down to Brass Tacks. Okay, we are back on the People's Parliament. Let's go over to Cynthia Bradshaw of the BLP, then we'll have question and answer from the WhatsApp.
Well, Corey, I think one of the important things to put on the table too is the fact that the Barbados Labour Party previously would have been at the forefront of testing our children at a young age. So a lot of the problems that we're talking about in terms of the sense of loss when children reach the 11 plus sometimes, or even when they feel displaced when they come out of school without certificates, I think we have to go back to the root of the problem, because I've often found that children don't become deviant at the age of 16. They don't end up in the system simply because they are bad behave. We are now a more educated society where I think people have come to realize that children are suffering with a number of different conditions. And some people may be autistic, some people may have Asperger's, some people may have ADHD. And while we have, as a party, emphasized and put a lot of resources into special education training, I think that within the last couple of years that there has been not as great an emphasis as should be placed in capitalizing on what the Barbados Labour Party had started. And one of the things that the Barbados Labour Party administration is committed to is certainly ensuring that, particularly in the primary school system, that you have guidance counselors. One of the loopholes in the system right now is that when you go across any primary school, you will find that there's a serious issue in terms of children who have problems at home, but there's really nobody to talk to. And sometimes the interventions that need to take place quickly to be able to bring resolution to the problems that a lot of these kids are having is not happening as fast as it should be. I think you have like one psychologist in the system dealing with all of these issues, and there are many. And as things have gotten worse over the course of the last 10 years in relation to the financial state of many households, you have found a situation where children have started to fall through the cracks even more. It's not that it didn't happen before, but what I'm getting at is that we have a situation where more and more children are being neglected, more and more children are being abused, more and more parents are trying to make ends meet, and therefore dealing with kids in relation to their homework exercises or spending time with children. The children are actually being neglected. And so what it is going to call on going forward from a Barbados Labour Party administration is that we again strengthen the community resource centres. Resource centres certainly in St. Michael's Southeast, for instance, and across Barbados, particularly in the St. Michael areas, you have a situation where they're not being utilized fully. You know, you have a lot of kids who are running wild in communities, particularly on the weekends. Not every child is interested in football or cricket. And you have to be able to put the resources in place to be able to have these facilities not only improved and properly managed and expanded, but you have to recognize that a lot of the programs in terms of things that may not be able to happen within the traditional school day are going to have to happen within the home environment, within the community environment. The last couple of years, this Democratic Labour Party administration has not been at the forefront of making significant renovations to these facilities. And you have in communities like the Pinelands area, even in the Map Hill area, you have an explosion in terms of population. But the supporting systems that need to be there to take the pressure off of the households to be able to mentor the kids, as Crystal would have spoken to, and to provide those other assistant, the other assistance that is needed to help the households is not there. A Barbados Labour Party under administration will be putting resources in place to ensure that we have the adequate supply of staffing in the community centres, that we also speak to the issue of volunteerism as well. Because I have found, particularly in my area, that there are a lot of people who want to give back. But we've not been reaching out, certainly over the past few years, to people who may have skills to be able to encourage them to come to a community center to teach lessons or to give homework assistance.
Let me interject here, because you actually, which is good, you answered the question before I could answer it. I know we've asked, where is this money going to come from?
Yeah.
And without probably intending to answer the question you mm-hmm. asked in relation to offering up volunteers, mm-hmm. retired persons, and so on, I want to put a challenge to you for commitment and see if you are able to bring that commitment. And that is, you spoke about guidance counselors. And coming up, my problem with guidance counselors is that I probably one of the few people that knew that the real terminology was career guidance counselors, and they dropped the word career and then expect guidance counselors to provide counseling. Mm-hmm. And there's been this serious call for social workers. Now, when you talk about one psychologist, people may think you mean within mm-hmm. a zone or a school or something. You're talking about one psychologist system. At the Ministry yeah. of Education. Sometimes there's two. Sometimes they're actually operating with one mm-hmm. for the entire school population of Barbados. Mm-hmm. Can we get some commitment, even if they are on a volunteer basis, to get social workers in the schools? We don't need one, we don't need two, we need many, because yeah. we have many children with many problems.
Yeah, and I think, again, utilizing the...
Before you go, can we get yeah. commitment? Are yeah. you in a position to commit to say that we will roll out a program where we get social workers in the schools?